ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of UWM Today. For the past few weeks, all of us have been living with the threat of the coronavirus pandemic. It's changed our way of life as we watch huge numbers of Americans, including members of our own community, fall ill and sadly too often die from the effects of this virus. On today's program, we're going to talk about the impact COVID-19 is having on UW-Milwaukee. With 26,000 students, it's the largest university in our region. We're going to hear from the people who are helping to lead the university through what is becoming one of the most challenging events in the history of UWM. Our special guests include Chancellor Mark Mone. He's joined by Robin Van Harpen, the Vice Chancellor of Finance and Administrative Affairs, and Kelly Haig, the Chief Student Affairs Officer at the university. Because of the stay-at-home order by Governor Evers, all four of us are working from our home offices, joining you today by teleconference. Chancellor, this week, UWM students returned from an extended two-week spring break. But as you know, the UWM campuses in Milwaukee, Waukesha, and Washington County, they don't look anything at all like they did last year at this time, do they?
No, they don't. That's right, Tom. Thank you for having us on the show. This is critically different time for us. I want to stress why it looks different is we're all about safety first. This is job one. We've always been concerned about the safety of our campus or our students, faculty and staff, but this really puts it on a different level. So that's probably the first impact, is just underscoring how seriously we have to take this. During the course of our program today, we'll probably talk about each of these different areas, but I'd tick off the big change, of course, fundamentally, was how we've taken 7,200 sections of our academic course offerings, put them online virtually overnight. Amazing work. Our employees, almost all are working remotely, and we'll talk about those few who are still on campus. A third dimension is the financials. Virtually overnight, our financial expenditures went up, and our revenues went down. So it's pretty challenging that way. Another level way of thinking about this is what we often do the best in academic environments, create relationships, create learning environments in person. We've kind of broken that relationship. Higher ed, and frankly, all of education is affected by that. So how we do that remotely is incredibly important. Similarly, the communications area, all of this is no longer interpersonal. It's very much remote. It's phone. It's video conference with large groups of people. The whole dynamics are quite different. And finally, what we're seeing is just how this exercise in resilience and sturdiness is coming forward. So those, to me, are probably some of the key areas of impact.
Let's start diving into those areas, talking first about the impact on the students. I mentioned the fact that with 26,000 students, we've got a small city of people on our three campuses, all of whom have seen their life turned literally upside down. They never could have imagined that a year at college would be like the one that they're experiencing right now. And Kelly, let me bring you into the conversation. As head of student affairs, you see firsthand the impact that this crisis has had on the individuals who make up the body of UWM.
I think that's a great way to look at it. We are a community of individuals, and I think as we are finding our way through this new path, remembering to demonstrate care for one another is so critical. And really, that's what we're bringing to all of our decision making as well, to the best of our abilities, as we, you know, we've really invested in building a community for our students. And now kind of the shape of that community has completely shifted. You know, we have moved out nearly 4,000 students from the residence halls in very short order. which has had a dramatic impact because not all of those students, for many of those students, this was their new home. And so to go someplace else feels very disorienting. We're also putting a lot of emphasis in converting our student support and community development into an online format. But that's not quite the same thing as hanging out in a coffee shop or going to one of our many educational and fun events that we have on our campus. We've also closed our childcare center on campus, which has a dramatic impact, not just on our student parents, but also on faculty, staff, and other community members who are part of that. And then we just have our general operations of how students have kind of interfaced with us over the year that have completely been upended.
Chancellor, you've heard from a lot of the students since this crisis began. What are they telling you?
You know, I think there's, on the one hand, just amazing flexibility for our students. Their ability to learn online and their welcoming this has been very positive. They appreciate how difficult it has been for the faculty, for themselves, and there's an understanding. I think one of the advantages we had was that we had already 11,000 students online, so it did make it a little more naturally. But I also have to say there's a couple of other themes that are there too. Some students haven't had some of the same quality of learning. Now it's early. We just technically went online earlier this week. We had a little activity. We extended the spring break to give our faculty and staff 2 weeks for them to prepare. So the test is still being administered, if you will. But there's some concerns about, you know, I'm not getting some of the feedback that I need. I'm not getting some of the same quality of instruction. I think some of that is just the natural transition that's going to work out. But overwhelmingly, we're hearing that the learning is continuing and people are appreciative of how quickly we were able to move so much online.
And that's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, we talk about the impact on the students, but it really, as a result of this crisis, required a complete change of thinking, a change in direction for many faculty who had not been teaching courses online before.
We have one prototype. I'll mention Dave Petering. 49 years he's been teaching, not ever one day online. And seeing the pictures and hearing the stories about how successfully he has made that transition, what it truly underscores is how our faculty will do what it takes to continue with the education and research mission of UWM. We're remaining strong, and it's just amazing when you have somebody who's that much of a veteran of doing things a certain way to make that transition. It's wonderful to see the documentation of that and to hear all the faculty that have moved into that. One person who was incredibly resistant said, "I wouldn't do it." All of a sudden, he's doing it, and he's saying, "Wow, I can link all these other lectures. I can pull all these guest speakers in. I can do," and he's learning about teams and doing things that he had never done before. So I think it's a great new world. Not going to be the same, but we're all having to adapt, and I'm really proud of the faculty and staff here.
And the scale is huge, isn't it? Robin, I know in the past we've, on this program, talked about the fact that UWM has more online classes pre-crisis than anybody else in the state. I think around 1,000 classes being taught online. But that number exploded exponentially when everybody had to shift to teaching in a different manner.
Yes, Tom, and I just wanted to note as well that in that process, we've not only had to help our faculty and instructors come along, but also really meet our students' needs where they are. In the beginning of, as this crisis was unfolding, I think we thought we might be able to keep some of our computer labs open under certain conditions to help ensure that students could continue to access their courses. And then as this unfolded, learned that we would no longer be able to safely keep those labs open. So we really worked to ensure that students had access to computing resources. And that included getting out a large amount of loaner computers and surplus computers at a very low cost to students, getting them in their hands before the break was over. And that was really cool to see.
Yeah. Kelly, as you think about those students, some of whom are many, I shouldn't say some, many are first generation students. Nobody in their family ever experienced college in any form before. And here you have students who have to make this tremendous adjustment in the way that they learn, the way that they get up and go to school. That has to create a discomfort, or as the Chancellor pointed out, some new habits that students have to adopt here.
I think that's true. And I am hearing that for some of our students who are maybe our more vulnerable students, there is special care and outreach that we do need to provide to them. For some students, they may not have access to internet at home. They may not be surrounded by people who really support their education to begin with. And so finding ways to ensure that they have both the technical ability to continue their education and then also kind of the cheerleading from the campus, that is something that we are working on. When I was on this program previously, I was speaking about food insecurity. And so there are ways that we are still contributing. We have our food pantry that's open to both our students and faculty and staff. And we are continuing to provide that service just because we are aware that these are real people's real lives, and we need to find ways to stay connected to them and support them in kind of their own success.
Chancellor, certainly students are number one on campus. They're the very reason a university exists. But University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee also has thousands of employees. It's actually one of the larger employees in the community. What impact is this having on all of those workers?
Well, you're right, Tom. The number of employees exceed 4,000, and we've also got quite a few part-time student employees. So the payroll is huge. And I want to come back to a comment that I made earlier. We're stressing safety first, and that's why when you go down any street on our campus, any of the sidewalks or halls, you're going to find it deserted. That's intentional because we want people to be working from home. And so that's the first thing. The second area for employees is, and our Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration, Robin Van Harpen, can talk more about this, but we've had to make some important decisions from an employee perspective about who is essential for the life that's necessary for our campus, the health and safety of our operations. Chief Student Affairs Officer Kelly Haig talked about, you know, emptying out our residence halls and moving a lot of things off campus, but we still have a couple of hundred students on campus, and they need to be cared for. We also have some research labs with animals in them. We've got huge IT infrastructure, and that's probably my third area of importance as I think about this. There's the IT, there's the physical plant, there's the upkeep, maintenance, security issues. Those types of categories are quite important. You just can't shut everything down when you have the physical plant and the infrastructure that we have as a small city. So some employees are needed, but the majority of employees are at home. And I'm really pleased to report how we've been able to take care of those leaves from the state's perspective and from the campus's perspective, not nearly as much as we'd like to for some of our student employees, but we are helping them, and we're certainly being able to provide additional support for those who are working remotely and those who cannot. So that's kind of the starting point.
Robin, I know in your role, one of your duties is to oversee the whole IT infrastructure for the university. Was there ever any fear that the system couldn't support moving 26,000 students online and then all of the employees, not all, but many of the employees, also having to work from home using the internet?
Definitely fear existed, of course. But I had the inside knowledge that our IT team and staff are really rock stars. And so I had great confidence in them that we could get this done. We also had a really interesting circumstance, which was that we were in the process of deploying Microsoft Teams across campus right as this crisis was unfolding. And that was a much more sophisticated online communication system that had just become available to us after literally a year of planning. It was being implemented right at the time that we needed to send people home. So as a result, we've got some great technology in place that we would not have had available to us 6 months ago. So we were able to really quickly train employees on using the system. We distributed through a drive-through about 700 headsets for employees to convert their computers to being able to handle the online Teams environment. And a whole lot of creativity has been deployed in the process, not just designing the courses for online, but allowing employees to continue to do their jobs from home now. We sent computers and equipment home, in some cases desk chairs if people didn't have a chair, just to allow people to get up and running to the maximum extent possible. So we're still analyzing the impact, but I would say right now, probably a good 80 to 90% of our employees are now able to work at home and are doing so very actively. Roughly 10 to 15% would be my guess right now of employees that have to come in to campus, in most cases, probably part-time or only occasionally, to tend to things that must be done on campus to keep our infrastructure and operations running, as well as the students that remain on campus. And then a relatively smaller percentage of employees are not able to work by based on the nature of their jobs remotely, and we're caring for those employees as well. So it's been a lot of creativity and some exciting new technology that's really allowed us to do this. And I will say I've heard a lot of comments from people that they are amazed that our systems have not crashed, not once. There's been no major glitch of any kind to date. And that is different than what we're hearing from a lot of our employees and what's happened at their spouses' employers, where there have been significant glitches and crashing, and that has not been the case here. So major kudos to all of our faculty staff and IT staff who have made that happen.
And listeners, everybody on this conversation are knocking on wood right now, saying we hope that all continues. Yes. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us for this special edition of UWM Today are the Chancellor, Chancellor Mark Mone, the leader of the UWM campus. We're joined along in the conversation by Robin Van Harpen. She's Vice Chancellor of Finance and Administrative Affairs, and Callie Haig, the Chief Student Affairs Officer at the university. Of course, our focus today is on the impact the COVID-19 pandemic is having on a great big operation, UWM, with 26,000 students and 4,000 employees. It's like a small city that suddenly had to shift direction along with the rest of the world as we begin to adjust our lives, our lifestyles, and our work to a whole new way of operations in light of the situation that we're facing. Chancellor, I want to come back to you and talk about something you referenced a little earlier in the conversation, and that's the economic impact that this is having on the university. I know that our listeners probably have seen the headlines or seen the stories about the university having to refund millions of dollars right here in the middle of the semester to those students who have moved out of the residence halls. That's just one way in which the finances of the university have been impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. What are other impacts on the finances or business operations of the university?
Well, I think the first piece is what you're referencing, what I alluded to earlier. We have a major cash flow situation that occurred overnight. If you think about refunds that have to be put in place for dorms, the meal plans, parking, that's significant. We're looking at an overall projection that's across the UW system that's north of $80 million on those categories alone. Then if you think about the increased expenditures around what Vice Chancellor Van Harpen talked about in terms of the IT infrastructure, the increased communication needs, additional staffing in kind of some of the emergency areas and so forth, it's pretty significant. We're hoping that between the stimulus bill from the federal government, as well as additional state funds that have not been confirmed at this point, we're hoping that the legislature and the governor can come together to provide additional funds, that at least for this academic year, we can minimize some of the losses. I do not begin to think that we can be made whole. It's just such a deep situation. I want to stress that UWM is fortunate that through our sound management, we do have some reserves that we can rely upon in the short term. But I also need to stress that the challenges are significant beyond this year, and that all of higher education is facing these staggering implications. So in the short run, we're good. We're okay. We're not where we'd like to be. When I say that, it's all relative. We're very much appreciative of what was passed last week by Congress and the Senate to provide the potentially almost $14 billion for higher ed across this country. It's much needed, and we're so vitally important as we think about the economy recovering. This is an investment that is very much needed. So I think about that when I think about the economic impact. Higher ed is going to be our answer. It's where we have the entrepreneurial activities. It's where we've got the talent, and we all know how short firms are on the talent that is needed around advanced and smart manufacturing, around healthcare. If you look at nursing, if you look at types of things that we're going to need more help in mental health and other areas. So it's vital that higher education remain robust as a foundation for rebuilding this economy.
Chancellor, I know that you have been working closely over the last few years with the leaders of other colleges and universities in the area, the Higher Educational Regional Alliance, a group that you helped form and have spearheaded. Where do other campuses in our region stand in terms of being able to survive this once, we hope, once in a lifetime event that has knocked the underpinnings out from the business models of these schools?
You know, I'll make a few comments on that, Tom. The Higher Ed Regional Alliance has banded together and come forward and said, we now all realize the issues and challenges are bigger than any one of us, and we need to band together to rely on each other for answers and assistance. I've had consultation with several of my presidential chancellor colleagues across the region, and many of them saw how quickly we moved online and how we made some of our decisions. We're all trying to figure out from a projection perspective, what are the best models to use? What does this look like? I will tell you, some campuses have not been able to go online as quickly, and some of their materials and some of their content doesn't lend itself very easily to that. But they're making progress, and I'm really pleased with how the region has banded together. I think to the point of your question about the future, and what some are seeing, you know, I will tell you, my alma mater was the first campus nationally to declare financial exigency. That is what I think is going to be in the future for a number of campuses nationally. Some of the pundits are estimating by this time next year, we'd have 10 to 20% of some of the smaller liberal arts colleges that have to consolidate, close, or find some other ways to go forward. I hope that does not happen here. We've got some strong and remarkable academic institutions, but we're going to try to do what we can collaboratively and supportively to keep this region strong. We have over 140,000 students in higher education in the southeastern seven Wisconsin counties. They're vitally important to our future, so we need to remain strong as a sector.
Yeah, the fact is that at some point this pandemic will pass, and you know, we will try to get back to some semblance of order. But as you point out, part of that normalcy has to be higher education. You know, that's the future for the next 10 or 20 or 100 years. Robin, I want to ask you real quickly, in terms of overseeing facilities, you're charged with making sure that the infrastructure of the campus, besides IT, is there. You still have buildings that have to be heated. You still have buildings that have to be secured. All that work continues, even though nobody largely is in those buildings.
Yes, we have a lot of fixed costs that are not going away as a result of the change to the online format, and our facilities and overall infrastructure is a major part of that. So that is one of the scary things about this entire crisis, depending on how long it lasts, is that we don't have the ability to dramatically reduce our expenses overnight. So that's going to play a big role. You know, over the last 7 years, we've been in a tuition freeze environment. And as a result, the reserves across the whole UW system have declined dramatically, including at UWM. Although we've really carefully managed our reserves and our expenses, we started this with about a 2-month operating reserve, the ability to carry forward our expenses for 2 months without revenues coming in. And that's a pretty small reserve relative to what businesses would like to have on hand. And the magnitude of this crisis is far beyond what anyone could have anticipated. And we have a pretty good estimate right now about what we think our operating losses will be for this semester and this academic year, since this really only took effect for about 2 or 3 months. But the big question for us will be the fall, the summer and fall, and what the overall impact is on higher education in general and our enrollment. And so we'll be monitoring that very closely, as well as options, the possibilities for federal and state gap funding or stimulus funding to help us get us through in the meantime.
Yeah, a lot of fingers crossed that that aid comes through. Chancellor and Kelly, I want you both to comment on this question. We have seniors who are graduating, and you know, they didn't sign up for this when they started college 4 or 5 or maybe 6 years ago, and suddenly the end of their college career is coming in a way they could not have imagined. What are you telling seniors as they look at ending their college on this note?
Maybe I'll start and then hand it off to Kelly. Real quickly, this is one of the tougher decisions that we've had to make, which was to postpone or push back our graduation. It's such an important day in the lives of our students and their families, so many of whom are first generation, so many of whom have got such a great launch for the rest of their careers and lives. You know, 2 times in May, we fill the Panther Arena with 10,000 people almost each time. That's how important this is to this region, that when we put out in that graduation alone over 3,300 students. We will have graduation. Students will still graduate. Our commencement ceremonies will be pushed back. We're tentatively planning on October at this point. So that's just a starting point in terms of the important messaging. This is still, our academic progress is still going to continue.
And Kelly, keeping morale up, making sure that students feel optimistic, that's a big job these days.
That's right. We do still have our counseling services available for our students. And beyond that, we have a lot of staff throughout the institution who are checking in regularly with each other and then also with their students. We are hearing that there is a lot of anxiety. So I think where we are able to offer certainty or a plan, that is reassuring. But I do think we have to be kind of lean into our humanity right now, and particularly for our students, to remind them that we're here for them. I think that's our role right now.
Chancellor, will there be a normal? Are we going to get back to normal this year at any time?
We're planning right now on having our summer courses online. We've already made that decision. We think that's important for students and faculty staff to be able to plan. We hope this fall to be back, at least in some sort of modified format. And Tom, I want to assure all our students, faculty and staff, that we're going to continue with the communication. It's so incredibly important in this time of uncertainty. So we put out daily updates. In fact, Tom, your staff and you are leading a remarkable effort to do that. We have hundreds of questions that are answered on our FAQs, and I encourage everybody to look at uwm.edu/coronavirus. I want you to know, in terms of, you know, my personal responses, the town halls that I'll be having, continued radio and video shows, this is going to continue.
Well, and it's a conversation that we would like to continue, and I suspect that we'll be doing this again as we try to make sure the community is informed on how UWM is not only responding to the current crisis, but getting ready to, as I noted before, spring back and get things back on track. Folks, thank you so much for taking time today to share your insights, and best of luck, best wishes in making sure that we deliver that all-important education that students come to UWM for. Thank you for a great conversation.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Chancellor Mark Mone, joined by Robin Van Arpen, Vice Chancellor for Finance Administrative Affairs, and Kelly Haig, the Chief Student Affairs Officer at UWM, our guest on this special edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Folks, please take care. Please stay healthy. We all want to get back to normal, but we have to get through this this battle in the short term, and we hope that everybody has success in moving in the right direction. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.